Glowworm by Alison Greaves. Chapter 6. Drive. Content warning. This chapter contains the T-slur. The room stinks of human. It's not a problem. Not really. Not since Gemma drank her fill, and she feels Helena still boiling away in her belly and spreading slowly through her body in waves, warm and fragrant like a fresh corpse. Her toes are tingling, always last to recover, but the smell is a little intense, made bitter by Vivian's pain and flavoured by cheap hotel soap. Spending significant time in the company of humans always makes Gemma pine for fresh air, so she climbs out of bed and opens the window. Too quick, she realises. Supposed to move like fucking molasses in front of humans. And then she shakes off a little more sleep and remembers. Vivian knows everything already. Not quite everything, a liar. She pricks her palm with a nail, a spot of self-control. Vivian's not looking, anyway. She's partially emptied one of Helena's suitcases and sits in the middle of a mess of clothes. She's got earbuds in, and she's playing a game on one of the generic laptops Helena supplies whenever Gemma breaks the last one. On the screen, a buff man with a yellow-orange head decoration and a large sword is bickering with... Gemma steps to one side to see past Vivian's shoulder. Some sort of floating green head? Vivian takes out the earbuds. Hi, she says, folding the laptop screen down. Hi, Gemma says. What time is it? About 5 in the morning. Are you really a vampire princess? Oh, God, Gemma says, going still. Do you have a pretty pink princess dress? I hate you. That's not very chivalrous of you. Gemma sits heavily on the bed and runs her hand through her hair. Huh, sticky. Wonder why. Waking as a vampire isn't all that much different from waking up as a human, except you sleep more deeply and dream more vividly. Sometimes it takes longer to sort reality from fantasy. That's not princesses, she says. That's knights. Princesses traditionally receive chivalry. Oh, fuck, she adds as she detangles her hair and her hand comes away covered in brown flecks, bringing memory with it. I practically dry-humped Helena, didn't I? Vivian loses the smirk. She nods slowly, frowning, unsure. I'm sorry, Gemma says. Was I hard to be around? No, Vivian says carefully. After the humping, you caught me when I fell, stroked her leg for a bit, and then she put you to bed. Gemma falls back on the mattress, looks at the ceiling and counts the imperfections. You should know, the only way to kill a vampire is to cut off the head, she says. On an unrelated note, could you do me a small favour? I'm not chopping off your head. There are knives on the table. No. Where is she? Helena? Gone. She left us a suitcase each with clothes, new phones. She said this one's already logged into one of your secure accounts. A couple of laptops and so on. She took your iPod. Sorry.
That's fine.
Gemma feels better with the crime scene photos out of her hands. Helena will have passed them on to her technical assistant, a frighteningly bright girl from the 1980s with incredible hair, and they'll be backed up in a dozen places by now. She gave me a gun, Vivian says.
Good. Ever fire one before?
Yeah, all the time at work. We actually have a small bazooka in the cashier cage for men who pay in pennies.
I'll teach you. It's not hard.
Thanks. Listen, Vivian says, standing and walking carefully over to where Gemma is still lying face up on the bed, regretting her entire life and death. Are you okay? You were pretty thralled last night. Gemma rolls over, looks at the pillows.
No.
You want to talk about it? She entertains for a second, doing just that.
No,
she decides, standing up again. You sure?
Not really,
Gemma says, unzipping the second suitcase and picking out underwear, cargo pants and a loose top.
We don't have time for me to have a vulnerable moment. Did she leave instructions?
In this, she said. Vivian throws a phone. Gemma catches it absently with her free hand. There's one word in the text messaging app. Suburbia. Smiling, Gemma relocks it and drops it on the bed.
Did you sleep? Slept and showered, Vivian says. She's wearing fresh clothes, trousers from one of Helena's suits, and a peach shirt. She looks good. You were out for a long time.
Yeah. Did you heal?
No, but... And don't take this the wrong way. I don't want to heal the way you healed. Vivian understandably shudders. Gemma pricks her palm again. I have painkillers, Vivian continues. I'll be fine, just don't ask me to go jogging.
Okay, I'm going for a shower. I hope you don't mind if I lock the bathroom door.
Fine. Gemma shuts herself in and allows herself a second to glare at her own reflection. Memories are still coming back. Her hands, out of her control, had picked Helena up and shoved her against the wall. They'd kissed. And this time, if Vivian hadn't been there, they might actually have... No time for a vulnerable moment. Gemma steps into the cold shower and washes off the blood, the dirt, and Helena. The first thing Gemma did when they both got back in Viv's car was pinch the knuckle indentations out of the steering wheel with an apologetic smile. And now they're headed south, and Viv's downloading her profile onto the phone Helena gave her. She can keep her old one, she said. Just leave it switched off for now. Safer. Gemma's a much better driver when she isn't trying not to kill the woman in the passenger seat. They've got the windows down, the Corsa doesn't have air conditioning, and the temperature is already bordering on obnoxious, and the wind is causing Gemma's tank top to billow. Viv forces herself to look up.
Can I ask you a question? She says.
It depends.
What didn't you want Helena to say?
What do you mean?
Last night, you thought she was going to say something. About you, I think. You asked her not to, and she said that I should know everything. Gemma blinks a couple of times.
I think I remember, she says. Paul leaves everything a little blurry.
Well, she told me about your vampire parents and how we need to keep that a secret, but she said a few other things when I was helping her unload her car.
She got you to help her?
When I was sitting on the cart watching Helena unload the car.
Okay.
She implied there was another reason to keep you away from the men in charge.
Yeah, there is.
Do I need to know?
Probably.
Are you going to tell me?
Yeah, I just... It's been a long time since I've been around someone who didn't know. It's been nice. When I haven't been a feral fucking monster, anyway.
You don't have to tell me, I guess. Gemma's quiet for a little while, runs her fingers around the steering wheel.
If we run into Cooper again,
she says, obviously thinking it through,
it might come up.
Cooper knows. She laughs, bitter and deep.
He likes lonely women, right? And not just because they're easier to pry out of their own lives. He's a creep and a fucking weirdo, and he likes lonely women.
Yeah. Viv doesn't see the point in pretending she's not been lonely. Work friends, Matt, and an increasingly distant Jill. Not much there.
Well, I was very lonely. No family or friends left. And I just escaped a bad relationship. I was sleeping rough, waiting for someone I barely knew to finish moving into her new place. I was gonna stay on her couch until I found a job.
But he got to you first?
Plucked me out of the car park at the 24-hour Tesco. Did to me basically what he did to you. After that, he drank my blood, made me drink his, and then...
Gemma's face, already bitter, twists.
Then he had a little fun while he waited for me to die. Which is when he found out.
Found what out?
He was... exploring. And he found out I'm trans. He found my dick. He's an old, old bastard. So his response was pretty much what you'd expect. More violence. And then he drained me. Gutted me like a fucking fish. Helena said she found you. I think he heard her coming, got spooked and ran. And that's how she found me, naked and near death. A girl with a penis. Way too interesting to let die.
Fuck.
Yeah, so now you know. I understand if you don't want to stay with me. We can get separate houses. I'll still keep an eye on
you. Think I'd be okay hiding out with a vampire but not a trans woman?
She shrugs. She hasn't looked at Viv this entire time.
It's come up, she says.
I'm not scared of you. Except maybe last night. That was kind of unnerving.
I'm sorry about that.
It's okay. Didn't seem like you could help it. So you and Helena think the, directors shouldn't know about this?
We have laws, Gemma says. Laws and guidelines and conventions like a real society. To keep order, to stay hidden. Only guess who gets away with literal murder and who gets the book thrown at them for coughing in the wrong direction.
Helena said something about that. Selective enforcement.
So you get the picture. And while I don't know of any other trans vampires, I've seen what happens when gay vampires and vampires of colour step a toe over the line. God forbid you be both, and my life, it hangs.
She draws a line through the air with pinched fingers.
By the thinnest of threads. Of course, it might all be over for me anyway.
Why?
Cooper knows I'm alive. We've kept that hidden from him for a very long time. Another brilliant tactical decision by me. And if he decides that his crimes might, in the eyes of the directors, be outweighed by my gender.
Fuck.
Yeah.
I'm really not freaked out, by the way, by you being trans.
Thanks.
I'm really not. People nowadays aren't so...
I've met people nowadays.
But I'm not like that.
Good. Thanks. But you still...
I still what?
You still gave me the look. I hate the look.
The look?
The one that says, I'm looking for the man you used to be. Don't worry. Everyone does it. People think, is that a male jawline? Would she have had that nose if she were born a girl? That brow. That hairline.
She shrugs, continues staring almost unblinking at the road ahead as if it might escape.
People start looking at you like they're working their way down a checklist. Especially cis women. That same internalised misogyny that makes them think they're never quite pretty enough starts working on us, looking for the flaws.
Gemma articulates an especially aggressive air quote with the hand on the steering wheel.
Either because they feel inferior that a man can look better than them, or they feel superior that the poor, pathetic little tranny looks worse. We are funhouse mirrors, weird and fun and just a little scary to look at.
Did I look at you like that?
Maybe. Some of it. I don't know. But everyone changes how they look at you when they find out. You get recontextualised. You become a little less real.
I know how that feels.
You think?
Yeah. You know I'm disabled, right? Well... when people see me for the first time on a bad day...
Oh, God. Do they start trying to diagnose you?
It's more that they tell me all the ways I could improve my life. The power of positive thinking. Couch to 5K. The stuff the Q people think movie stars are squeezing out of children. But it's not as bad as when they stop trying to help. They start seeing only the ways I'm different from them. They see me struggle with things they consider trivial. It's not long before I get... recontextualized, Viv nods at Gemma, who smiles, into a lower category of person. Either that or they stop thinking about it at all, expect me to act just like them, and my failure to live up to their expectations becomes a personal slight against them.
Viv sighs.
It's worse when they think they're being polite, but you can still see it in their eyes. You poor thing, and... fuck you for ruining my plans are two distinct looks, and I've had them both a lot.
Did I?
I don't think so. We haven't spent a lot of time together where we can just talk, though.
That's true.
I'm sorry if I did anyway. I'm used to it.
Hey,
Gemma says after giving Viv a minute or so to stew.
Can you look for the nearest petrol station? We've got a way to go and I'd like to fill up before rush hour.
Sure. I can't believe you thought I might be more scared of you being trans than being a vampire.
Like I said, it's come up.
Jesus.
Okay, take the next exit. There's a village with a garage.
Good. Thanks. Want to get breakfast? If there's cash in the bag, you can get a sandwich or something.
What will you do? Nip into the woods?
Probably.
Rabbits?
Probably.
Vivian's smelling healthier now. Whether it's the painkillers kicking in or just getting further away from the town where Cooper attacked her, she seems more relaxed and more comfortable. Does chronic pain fade after a while? Gemma doesn't know and doesn't want to ask. Their rapport feels delicate. Gemma looks over once she's pulled back onto the main road. Vivian's hooked Gemma's phone up to the aux and is scrolling through her playlists.
I feel like you know more about me than I know about you,
Gemma says. Vivian shrugs. All I know about you is you're a trans woman and a vampire, and I've got a rough guess at your age based partly on it having been 2 decades since you died, but mainly based on your playlists.
What's wrong with my playlists?
This is all oldie stuff. How old are you?
40.
You look good for 40.
It's the all-blood diet. And hey, not all my music is old. Look.
Gemma reaches out and stops Vivian scrolling.
There. Little Boots.
Isn't that song from 2009?
Shut up!
I was 15 in 2009.
You realise how horrifying that is, right? You're like a tiny baby.
I'm 26. If you were turned 20 years ago, that makes me older than you, technically. Gemma negotiates the roundabout that takes them back onto the dual carriageway. She's getting used to the manual transmission. Just change gear when the engine sounds like it's very unhappy with you.
19 years ago, to be exact. I was 21 when I died. But I'm not still 21, and you are a tiny baby.
You don't have that thing where you're frozen at the age you were turned, then?
Only in the sense that I'm a millennial. By the way, you missed a golden opportunity for a Twilight joke.
What do you mean?
You know, and how long have you been 40? I really thought you were gonna say it.
No, I mean, what's Twilight?
Shut up.
I really don't know.
You're making fun of me.
A little,
Vivian says. Gemma risks reaching out and giving her a gentle poke in the shoulder. It doesn't seem to go badly. I never read the books, Vivian continues, but I was kind of into the movies.
Kristen Stewart?
Anna Kendrick, actually. And the girl with the glasses? Kristen Stewart looks better now than she did then.
Don't we all?
Speak for yourself. I was capable of styling my own hair back when those movies came out.
Your hair looks nice.
Gemma protests. Vivian's got shoulder-length hair, almost black with a brown sheen where it catches the light. It's straight, with a slight wave at the end so it gathers around her neck instead of lying flat on her shoulders. And it smells of Travelodge shampoo.
Thanks.
So, are you like the vampires in Twilight? Can you do that zippy speed thing?
Nope. Think Buffy.
I actually haven't seen that for real.
Gemma grins.
Now you're making me feel old. What about those Marvel Comics movies? Have you seen those?
Yeah, some. They're hard to escape.
I could beat up Captain America, I think.
Is that a promise?
Yeah, I promise that if we happen to run into Captain America or any other jingoistic super soldier, I will beat the crap out of them.
I'll keep an eye out. Vivian finally picks a song. It's not one Gemma recognises. Must be something new. Could you take Thor? She asks.
He has lightning powers, right? That'd be a problem. And we're still talking about me, you know? I want to know about you.
Sorry, Vivian says. For what it's worth, I couldn't take Thor.
You never know until you try. Tell me about yourself, please.
I mean, there's not much to know, she evades. Gemma counts on her fingers.
I know you work as a cashier at Beachway. I know you have chronic pain, but I don't really know much about it. I know you're brave as hell. And I know you have really nice hair. There's got to be more to you than that.
Vivian looks away. What do you mean, brave as hell?
Standing up to Eleanor while I was under her control? She might have put you through a window or the wall.
But it was disgusting. She promised not to take advantage, and then seconds later, she's all over you. I only wish I'd realised what was happening sooner.
Thank you for standing up for me. Really, I'm...
Gemma feels lightheaded for a moment and waits it out.
I'm so grateful. And yeah, the blood connection is difficult to resist, especially between the two of us, her and me. But she's never actually let it progress all the way.
It's still assault.
Yeah, probably.
Gemma drums her fingers. She hasn't exactly examined this as much as she should. It's difficult to push Helena away. For so long, she's been the only person in her life who seems to care.
But she's my sire, and she's my boss. And sometimes I think she might be in love with me.
I think she's obsessed with you, Vivian says shortly. Not in love. She asked me to take care of you and kept calling you hers. That's when she gave me the gun.
I think she loves me and she's into me, fetishistically kind of. I mean, she's a suffragette from way back when and hears me all shiny and new and weird and exciting. She's a chaser.
A chaser?
I'm fairly sure she predates on the local trans lesbian community. I feel sort of responsible for awakening that in her.
Predates? Like, eats? Gemma snorts.
Sort of.
Vivian blinks and hits her on the arm. Gemma tries not to wince when she hears something go click in Vivian's wrist.
Tell me about yourself,
Gemma says when the song ends.
No diverting it back onto me again.
There's nothing to tell, Viv says, watching the scenery go by. The fields and villages outside have become suburbs. She was supposed to come down here once for an interview for an office job, but she couldn't walk that day and they wouldn't reschedule.
I'm just a cashier who falls over a lot. You're a vampire. Much more interesting.
Gemma laughs.
Not to me. I've been a vampire for nearly 20 years. It's just like being a human, except you don't get sick, you can open any jar you want, and you're a disgusting monster who kills to live.
What do you eat? I know you eat rabbits, but that can't be all.
That's a me question. We need you questions. I've got one. Where are you from?
Reading. Left for university.
Why here?
I followed my boyfriend. I didn't have a strong idea of where I wanted to go, so I went to the open day with him, liked it, and got in through clearing. Never gone back home since.
You still with him?
Gemma asks a little too quickly. No, it was a school thing. Lasted way too long. Inertia, you know?
Not really. I didn't have any school things.
Not even crushes?
Oh, crushes? I was a closeted trans lesbian in the late 90s. I had crushes.
So tell me about one, Viv says, grinning and risking touching her briefly on her forearm. Like last night, when Viv was briefly in her arms, she's warmer than Viv expects.
Nora, older than me by 2 years, my sister's best friend. Kind and funny and really beautiful. A bit of a nerd too, so we got on.
You're a nerd?
I was a shut-in, nothing to do but read.
When did you last see her? Gemma's silent for a while.
At the funeral, she says eventually. Shit. Sorry. Hers? My sister's.
Oh God, Gemma, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Viv looks through Gemma's playlists, looking for something she might find comforting.
Tell me about her, she says, if you want to.
Gemma bites her lip.
Her name was Amanda. We look a lot alike if you want to imagine her, except I'm about 6 inches taller and smaller here.
She points at her chest.
She knew about me, about Gemma, and helped me hide it. And she kept in touch after my mother kicked me out, even though I know she got shit for it. We used to meet for dinner once a month, I'd pretend my life wasn't a total wreck and she'd pretend I was just a normal little sister. She even brought Laura once so Laura could see me as me. I felt so young and so foolish and ugly, and they were both so kind. Called me by my name, said I was beautiful, held my hand. We went dancing after, and Amanda died 3 days later, hit by a car. She sounds lovely, Viv says, finally giving in to the itch in her fingers and taking Gemma's free hand in hers. She squeezes, and Gemma smiles for just a moment. I had to go to the funeral as him, or my mother wouldn't let me come at all. Laura sat with me and had a flaming row with my mother after, and that was the last time I ever saw her, or my mother. Oh, except once, about a month before I died, when my mother was on the same bus as me. I don't know if she saw me. I don't know if she would have acknowledged me if she did. Jesus, Gemma. She shakes her head, slowly, carefully. I'm okay. It's all a long time ago now. What about you, family? Not really, Viv says. Only child. Parents divorced almost as soon as I moved out. We weren't ever really a family, you know, just three people who lived together. My dad's not even in the country anymore, has some high-powered job. He sends money occasionally, in big lump sums, whenever he gets guilty. It's how I have this, she slaps the passenger door. God knows she wouldn't have been able to afford a car on her wages. She can barely afford to keep the thing tanked up. Fuck, she realises. Beachway. What about my job? I'm supposed to be at work today. Text Eleanor your boss's details. The number should be in the phone already. She'll sort it out. We can say you caught COVID. Will that be enough? Worst case, she or her assistant can do a mild compulsion. Remember Len? Okay. I guess it's not really worth worrying about anyway. We'll make sure you still have a life to go back to after this is over. Viv wants to laugh. What life? But she thanks her anyway. So you've been at Beachway since university? Gemma asks. Since dropping out, yeah, Viv says. There's not really anything else to tell. She frowns, pauses, typing out the text to Helena. I guess I wouldn't even be here if there was more in my life. Huh. She's not going to tell her about Jill. Not yet. Not only because it could conceivably put her in danger. It just doesn't feel right. I suppose not, Gemma says. We're almost there. Never actually been here before, Viv says idly as they turn off the main road and onto the first of a series of back streets. I have. Not entirely thrilled to be back. Oh? It's where I grew up. And it's where I died.